Christian
and Ryan from Group Love, and you're listening to 91.5 FM.
WMFO Medford.
Take me to your best friend's house, going round this roundabout, oh yeah.
Tufts Freeform Radio.
Hello, everybody. My name is Spencer Walsh. Welcome to another hour of news and music. Thank you so much for joining me here today, live from WMFO here in Medford. Very, very exciting to be here today, and we've got a lot of interesting stories to talk about. First, I do, though, you know, we've been really exploring the past few weeks on this show. We've been talking a lot about this big bill that they're working on, right, in the House and in the Senate, which is the Biden kind of like social policy agenda. This is really like, if it's going to be so, so important here for Biden to pass this bill, right? Because Biden, for so many reasons, well, he wants to have a legacy. He wants to have someone he can go in next year for the midterms and talk to people about. And that bill, it has to be good, it has to be substantive, and it also has to pass. And right now, the process is, I think this week it's supposed to kind of head and work through the Senate. This Build Back Better bill is the bipartisan infrastructure bill already passed. Right now, what they're going to try to do, the Build Back Better initiative, which is Biden's kind of like actual agenda, however seriously pared down it may be, they're trying to get that through the House. So what we do have here, though, is very interesting, because what we do have is probably the biggest supporter of Democrats in the print media, as in the New York Times, a very big supporter of the Democratic Party and kind of Democratic main figures. So not too much of a surprise, but still, check out this headline from about 2 days ago in the New York Times. With back channels to Manchin and Sinema, Pelosi found a path to a deal. So that is the headline there. The House's approval of a sweeping social policy bill after weeks of fits and starts notched another win for a speaker in a career defined by them. I mean, it does technically, you know, it depends what you mean by win, I guess. But with Nancy Pelosi, I just don't see it. She's most likely going to become the second speaker to lose the House twice in history. Like, the wins for me are just not exactly piling up. But, you know, Nancy Pelosi is very, very lucky. She has her good friend Carl Hulse in the New York Times, the well-respected, believe it or not, Washington correspondent. So let's get into this big win here. But taking a broader look at Nancy Pelosi's career before we get into this a little more, like, I just don't get where he's, like, coming. Because the thing about it, like, she comes to the House, she gets the speakership. It's definitely, I wouldn't say it's her fault for a lot of what happened. A lot of it, you know, it does come down to, you know, what Obama does and the leadership starts from the top. But no one can say Nancy Pelosi's tenure as speaker ended in massive success, at least her first. And then her second, you know, I would not give her a lot of credit for, you know, a lot of the external circumstances that kind of happened around her that enabled her to take back the House again. She definitely has a very tight grip over her own caucus. But to a certain degree, I do question how, you know, her corporate donors probably have the same type grip over her as they do the rest of her entire caucus. So I think it's more like she's just kind of a conduit for them more than anything else. And let's get into this. Let's get into this article here. But what, you know, in case you do want to, if you want to, you know, say your opinion at any time today, request a song for later, you know, I don't know. I want to hear it, you know, I want to hear it. Learned how to take calls when I did a sub-in show. So if you want to hear yourself on air, or don't even have to, just call in for a song request, the number is 855-915-WMFO, 855-915-9636. All right. And yeah, that is it. Let's get in here. This is from Carl Hulse. On Wednesday night in September, when President Biden backslapped in the Republican dugout during the annual congressional baseball game, Speaker Nancy Pelosi sat nearby, sober-faced, wagging her finger while speaking into her cell phone, toiling to savage her party's top legislative priority as it teetered on the brink of collapse. Like, again, this is like Nancy Pelosi's like best friend here writing this. Like, I'm sorry, does the tone not scream to you? Like, no, I was talking to Nancy. She was just doing all this work. Like, that girl knows how to grind. She's the best. And like, this is one of the most respected reporters in Washington for the New York Times. Like, it is ridiculous. It is really something. You know, it is Miss Pelosi, she was seated in the VIP section behind the dugout at Nationals Park and was trying to persuade Joe Manchin to embrace a $2.1 trillion spending and climate change provision package she considered to be essential for the legislation. Yeah, and how'd that go? Like, a lot of climate provisions, they're not in this bill anymore. That is a very, very important thing. So Pelosi, they're doing a little bit of cross-party talking, and the fact that, you know, she's willing to talk, willing to concede pretty much everything, and then, you know, eventually pass something, that to people like Carl Holst of the New York Times apparently makes her a big winner, master legislator, whatever, whatever. So the call reflected how Pelosi's pivotal role in shepherding Biden's House agenda on Capitol Hill has reached far beyond the House, that is her primary responsibility, and into the Senate, where she's engaged in quiet and little-noticed talks with key lawmakers who have the power to kill the package or propel it into law. Her efforts, fraught with challenges and littered with near-death experiences for the bill, finally paid off on Friday with House passage of the $2.2 trillion social policy and climate change package. So that $2.2 trillion package, some of the stuff kind of got back in for the House. But, you know, again, this should not be, I don't give Pelosi any credit, and I don't see why I need to give Pelosi any credit for this bill, because if you think about it, the reality of the situation is the Democrats control the House, and Josh Gottheimer, I don't know if actually the drug pricing stuff was in this bill, but, you know, the liberal holdouts, you know, they're much easier to get around in the House, because the House is very much more in the Democrats' territory. It's not very much in the Democrats' territory, but they actually do have a workable majority of more than, like, literally zero, which is a kind of, like, 50-50 split, you know, that we see in the Senate right now that is, you know, very, very hard for the Democrats to work with. You know, again, not that they would do any better with 60 votes, as we saw in 2009, but anyway, the point is, I just do not see how I can be that excited for Nancy Pelosi, since she got, like, the House on her side here. Like, this is not a big accomplishment. The Senate is here going to be, obviously, the much bigger hurdle, because that's where it's more moderate body. If you don't have Sinema, don't have Manchin, you're going to have someone like Mark Warner, someone like Jean Shaheen, pass it down the line, you know, et cetera, et cetera. There are a lot of obstacles standing in the way of the passage of this bill. And I'm sorry, the bill doesn't take effect just because it passes the House. You know, that is a reality that very, very few, very, very, very many people would just like you to forget. And, you know, just praise your shrine of Biden every day to say, like, oh, he's the best legislator ever, you know, on the Democratic side. Praise all the Democrats. But, you know, this thing still has not passed the House. It still has not passed the Senate. It still has not taken effect yet. Like, there is, and it's not nowhere close to a guarantee that it's going to pass the Senate in the first place. It was only after a call with Manchin at the baseball game that Pelosi discovered that the West Virginians' demands were contained in sort of a makeshift contract he delivered to Senator Chuck Schumer in late July. The document, which signed by both men, had been kept secret, including from her, for months, Pelosi said. I would like to have known that, Pelosi said. However, it was what it was. Manchin's insistence, so wait, hold on, I gotta back this up here. They apparently signed some sort of contract? Contained a sort of makeshift contract. Okay, so what was in this contract? Oh, I'm so confused. Anyway, Carl Holst, not giving me what I need here. Anyway, Manchin's insistence on holding down the cost of the package threw a wrench into Pelosi's plan, because, again, this was kind of the two-tiered Democratic strategy in the Senate for a long time. You know, one person would attack the policies. Like, Manchin would attack the policies, and Sinema would be like, well, I don't like all these taxes, and, you know, how are you going to pay for it, Manchin would say. And then, meanwhile, Sinema would say, you know, I'm going to attack the methods that you want to pay for it. Yeah, it is very, very interesting, very, very clear to see, I think, that, you know, that this is just not a, very sustainable, situation here, for sure. Anyway, so she's still not done with the Senate now, getting a chance to reshape. Yeah, people got to remind themselves of that. She's still not done. She's got a little bit more work to do. The Senate now getting a chance to reshape the measure in the hope of eventually sending it back down for final House approval and Biden's signature. So, yeah, it looks like there has been, because originally this bill started at like $2.93 trillion, got back down to like $1.75. Now it's up to $2.2, passed the House, going to go back to the Senate. So this process is just not over. Like, this is not a win for Pelosi. This is like a very small, like, prerequisite battle that she won here. So, But yeah, in the weeks since the call, Manchin has privately expressed an openness to embracing a costlier plan than the one he initially insisted upon, and the Speaker now says she's confident that the measure approved by the House will reemerge from the Senate mostly intact. You know, and again, heavy emphasis on, you know, mostly intact, and, you know, a strong we'll see about that is what I like to file that under from Pelosi. You know, it's going to be very, very important to, you know, when this bill comes back to the House for its final approval, to watch what is in and what is out, because, you know, when it gets back to the Senate, they're going to take some stuff out, they're going to send it back to the House for approval, they're going to reconcile. That's what it's called, you know, a reconciliation bill. So they may want to hone or sharpen this or that, but that's a negotiation, Pelosi said of the Senate. But 97% of the bill is what it is. Initial approval of the legislation in the House was a considerable achievement in itself. Disagree. Considering the unanimous Republican opposition and deep Democratic divisions of the package. Again, you literally just had to, you know, again, not like the progressives, to be fair, put up that much of a fight. But again, this is a very much a Democratic body that a body much more in control of the Democratic Party. And it was not a surprise to me, I don't think. And it shouldn't have been really a surprise to anyone when they're able to get this thing through the House, because, you know, the Senate would be, as I said before, the much bigger problem. All right, so in the end, as she did with the financial bailout in 2008, the Obama-era stimulus, again, those all went over so well. The financial bailout in 2008, the Obama-era stimulus plan in 2009, the Affordable Care Act in 2010. Like, these things are hugely, hugely responsible for the position the Democrats found themselves in the middle part of the 2010s. You know, very much kind of isolated, losing seats rapidly, in a kind of, like, you know, they had the charismatic leader at the top, but really things were eating away at them, and it was because of these policies. And Pelosi played a big role in getting them through the House, even though she wasn't obviously, you know, behind them in, you know, a central way. Pelosi acknowledged in an interview on Friday, even if it was a legacy piece of legislation. So, you know, I can just picture them in there asking, like, Pelosi, Speaker Pelosi, will you admit that you are amazing and this piece of legislation that you passed is really going to enhance your legacy so much? Like, not that it's already not incredibly enhanced, of course, but it's going to be so much better this time. I mean, once you pass this bill, it's going to be so incredible and transformative and amazing. Like, we must pass it, and then we have to see for me. Then what we have to see for me to have an almost religious experience of appreciating what it is. It's going to be very interesting to see them. You know, I get very much see them pass a pretty, like, a completely watered down version of this big social spending policy and say, we did social transformative progressive policy, and then the benefits don't get there in time. You know, it's very inefficient. The child tax credit, you know, they don't renew it after 1 year or whatever. Like they said they were going to do a billion times, and then they get kicked in the midterms, like is very likely either way, and then they blame it all on progressives. Like, I would not be, to like the left generally of the Democratic Party, I would not be surprised to see that, to be quite honest. But anyway, Pelosi said in her Capitol office, which was not long after the vote to approve the bill, which was delayed until Friday morning by an angry 8-hour stemwinder from Representative Kevin McCarthy of California, the Republican leader, but she did concede it's a big deal. So Pelosi, you know, if only we could just appreciate Nancy Pelosi as much as Carl Hulse wants to, that would be a wonderful world, wouldn't it? Anyway, so while her main responsibility was wrangling the House, Pelosi devoted considerable time to Manchin and Sinema. I mean, I hope everybody was honestly devoting considerable time to Manchin and Sinema, both of whom hold the power to scuttle the deal in evenly divided Senate if they balk. Pelosi has ties to both. She is bonded with Manchin, who, like Pelosi, grew up in a political family, read corrupt, over their shared Italian heritage and Catholicism, and her work on health and pension benefits for coal miners, represented in her office by a statue of a miner gifted to her by Manchin. How cute. When Pelosi wanted to send a message to Manchin about her voting rights this year, she delivered it on a literal silver platter given to her by Robert Byrd, the former senator from West Virginia. Again, you know, segregationists behind some of the most, you know, progress-halting, obstructionist rules of the Senate, and somebody who Manchin often cites as his guiding star. The tray, which is warmly inscribed in an appreciation for Pelosi's fundraising work, of course, because that's, you know, that's pretty much, that is where she truly racks up the wins, the fundraising work, really. That is why she's, like, kept around for so long, because she knows how to raise money, because, you know, she literally was, you know, the one holding the fundraiser before she got into politics with her husband. But yeah, the tree is warmly inscribed in appreciation for Ms. Pelosi's fundraising work on delivering a Democratic Senate majority in 1987. It was a reminder for Manchin of the speaker's past relationship with his predecessor. I thought he should see it, Pelosi said with a chuckle. Pelosi knew Sinema was an activist in Arizona even before she was elected to the House, where they developed a mutual respect and rapport. It was a warning sign from Sinema in late September that led Pelosi to begin the delicate task of separating the social policy bill from a bipartisan infrastructure bill that had already passed the Senate with Sinema as a main author. And again, that bill was that strategy there was instrumental in giving corporate lobbyists a huge boost that they needed to separate these policies and kind of really go after the ones they didn't want and support the ones they did want in the infrastructure bill. So it really is fascinating to see almost how Nancy Pelosi, through quote-unquote developing a good rapport with Sinema and Manchin, has pretty much enabled them to get exactly what they want. All right, we're going to go into a little bit of a mix today, and the theme for it, you know, is chill. You know, we're going to take it's Thanksgiving. We're going to ease our way in to that wonderful holiday time. And to do that, we will start with a little bit of, you know, a little bit of beauty, I would say, from Mac Miller and Ariana Grande. Right, we are taking it slow with Ariana Grande and Mac Miller there. We're continuing with the music in just a minute.
As humans, we ask ourselves all kinds of questions. But what if we were forced to ask ourselves a question every day that affected the outcome of the most basic things, the most important things in our lives? The question is, what is your sexual orientation or gender identity? And the answer is the difference between keeping your job or getting fired. The answer is the difference between staying in your home or getting evicted. The answer is the difference between receiving medical treatment or not. Because in 31 states, it's legal to discriminate against people based on their answer to this question. LGBT Americans have the right to say, "I do," but they don't have the same basic rights as everyone else. Get the facts at beyondido.org. Brought to you by the Gill Foundation and the Ad Council.
A very important message there, and we will take that time any day to broadcast a very, very important message to you here on WMFO. But right now, we continue with the music. It's Calucas, Body Language.
Nothing. the love and do like touches was so sacred. I could never leave your face. Shower you with my warm embrace, babe.
And I still see that in your eyes. I hope that nothing will ever change. 'Cause I wish that I could grow up the way in which you grow up. 'Cause then I'd love myself and I feel like a better guy. 'Cause nothing, no, I said that nothing else will ever be the same, 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 same. 'Cause lately I've been missing you, and I just kinda want your body. I know I could ease the pain. Miss me too, and if that's true, well, I'm sorry, but at least I'm on my feet again. I'm on my feet again. But listen, girl, couldn't you tell I'm scared as well? You go on my hand, say something, say something, say something. Ease my pain, yeah.
looking for the Gaudian. That is what I was IDing. That was real love I was in. Ain't no reason to pretend. Gaudian shit for the garçons. The feelings that I was Gaudian. Heavy on my mind. All my friends lost. They couldn't read the signs. I didn't want to talk. I'm telling my location and I ain't want to walk. Truth is, since a youth kid, thought it was a face. Thought it'd be like the freight poof. Gone, but it's still going on. Big fan of the bass 10. Polka dot knows how it goes. Had to keep it on the subwoofer. Couple butterflies wanna float. I was always like, man, really interested, but I badged the brats and my boys like, bruh. This is crucial subject matter, sensitive like cooking batter. To the temperature that's rising, stepping on that ladder, trying to grab the rings of Saturn. I'm a planet by the time you hit this. Shit and chatter about to heat it, it will not.
Time we've no control. If the sky is pink and white, if the ground is black and yellow, it's the same way you showed me. Nod my head, don't close my eyes. Halfway on a slow move, it's the same way you showed me. If you could fly, then you'd feel south. Up north's getting cold soon. The way it is, we're on land, so I'm someone to hold true. Keep you cool when it's still alive. Won't let you down when it's all ruined. Just the same way you showed me. Showed me. You showed me love. Glory from above. Regardless, dear. It's all. Of a summer shade, nose dive in the flood lines, tall tower, milk crate. It's the same way you showed me. Cannonball off the porch side, older kids trying off the roof. Just the same way you showed me. You showed. If you could die and come back to life, up for air from the swimming pool, you'd kneel down to the dry land, kiss the earth that birthed you. Gave you tools just to stay alive and make it up when the sun is ruined. That's the same way you showed me. Showed. You showed me love.
Yo, remember yo. Back on the bully when cats used to harmonize like.
Yo.
Yo. My men and my women, don't forget about the dean. This is not the most the king. Yo. It's about a thing. Yeah.
Feel real good when your hands in the air and lick two shots in the atmosphere.
Since you were looking for your friend, the one you let hit it and never called you again. Remember when he told you he was about to Benjamins? You act like you ain't him, they give him a little trim to begin. Now you think you really gonna pretend like you wasn't down and you called him again. Plus when you give it up so easy, you ain't even fooling him. If you did it then, and you probably talking out your neck saying you're a Christian. A Muslim sleeping with the gin. Now that was the sin that did Jezebel in. Who you gonna tell when the repercussions spin? Showing off your ass cause you thinking it's a trend, girlfriend. Let me break it down for you again. You know I only say it cause I'm truly genuine. Don't be a hard rock when you really are a gin, baby girl. Respect is just the minimum. Nigga, you still defending them now. Lauren is only human. Don't think I haven't been through the same predicament. Let it sit inside your head like a million women in Philly pen. It's silly when girls sell their souls because it's sin. Look at where you be in. Hair weaves like Europeans. Fake nails done by Koreans. Come again. To the man, more concerned with his rims and his Timbs and his women. Him and his men come in the club like hooligans. Don't care who they your fan, popping yang.
Like you got yang.
Let's not pretend. The one to pack pissed out by the waist, man. Crissed out by the casement. Still the name of this basement. The pretty face man claiming that they did a bid, man. Need to take care of their 3 and 4 kids. Been the face in court case when the child support's late. Money taking, heartbreaking. Now you wonder why women hate me. The sneaky silent man, the punk domestic violence man, the quick to shoot the semen. Stop acting like boys and be men. How you doing?
Rocking with Lauryn Hill, keeping it going. About 5 minutes away from more news. Keep it locked.
So many to the street.
Oh, no, no.
They ain't even dead. They ain't dead.
Fans of the street. Fans of the street.
Red is leaking out. Gotta feel my
trip. It's leaking out.
It's Feds did a sweep from Future. One song away from more news, talking about Kyle Rittenhouse. Stay tuned. Once again, that number, if you want your opinion heard or a song request, 855-915-WMFO.
I don't fantasize, I make movies. I don't tell lies, I tell bruises. I get idolized by these groupies. I treat them just like they regular. They sneaking pics on the selling. Praying on me on the predator. Praying on me on the predator. The bands on me, more capital. Gotta go pour some juice. But my dog just went federal. Give your life for this gang gang. Pay a price for this gang gang. You sure wanna remain nameless. Tryna be Instagram famous. Knowing damn well these streets painless. Gotta take your time, you gang gang. You don't wanna feel my pain.
gon' drive you insane. I trip up and finish this, man, I'm a menace. I know what I did, I'ma finish this. I got the code, I got the remedy. I'm doing this for infinity. I ain't looking for no symbol. Put a dollar sign on my enemies. You can't come between my embassy. You gotta stay off the premises. I was down and out and I remember this. It's gonna hurt my soul just to reminisce. Gotta understand what I represent. You know what I mean to the gang. Feds at the switch. Red, linking up. Trip, linking up. Link up, my nigga, let's link up. I done start buying more Cubans. These links on me leaving bruises. I don't fantasize, I make movies. I don't tell lies, I tell bruises. I get idolized by these groupies. I treat them just like they regular. They sneaking pics on the cellies. Praying on me on a predator. Praying on me on the predator. Them bands on me, more capital. Gotta go pour some juice. But my dog just went federal.
We're closing out with one more big one. It's Through the Late Night from Travis Scott. Perfect way to end the chill mix with a little bit of that Kid Cudi inspiration there. One of his best from Birds in the Trap, saying McKnight. We'll have more news for you in just 4 minutes.
Then we play all through the late night. Sleep through day, then we play all through the late night. All through the late night. See who play, don't you hate? All through the late night. All through the late night. All through the late night. All through the late night.
Space 4 in the morning. How did I get in this place? Oh, it don't matter. Got smoke, drink, and we're in this space. Done contemplating. I'ma take it in the groove in this case. In and I'm at the tryptamine. And I surge the gas without dynamite. The vibes are effervescent, delicious, just how they should be. In and I'm at the tryptamine. And I surge the gas without dynamite. The vibes are effervescent, delicious, just how they should be. No sleep in my bed. No sleeping in my bed. And we gon' play, gon' play, gon' play until the day. I said, no sleep in my bed. No sleeping in my bed. Yeah, we gon' play, come play, then we'll sleep all through the day and do it again.
Sleep through day, then we play all through the late night. Sleep through day, then we play all through the late night. All through the late night.
See who play, don't you hate?
All through the late night. All through the late night. All through the late night.
It's Travis Scott there taking us through the late night and to our next story, ladies and gentlemen. And we are back today here on The Spencer Walsh Show. We're talking a little bit about a very big case that came down. You may have heard of it. Kyle Rittenhouse. He obviously was the person who was in a very, very big trial over the past few days. Which obviously he got off of a few days ago, pretty much about whether or not he was exhibiting sufficient kind of self-defense when he was at a Black Lives Matter protest over the summer in 2020 and killed a few people. Anyway, let's get into it. And I want to break this down kind of from the context almost of this man, George Chidi, here in The Intercept, breaking this one down. He writes, Kyle Rittenhouse's acquittal sets a dangerous precedent, but that's not what was on trial. So kind of a common refrain, maybe heard a little bit from kind of centrist people, but this is, you know, The Intercept, pretty left-wing place. Let's hear what's going on. So Kyle Rittenhouse is free, the beneficiary of a verdict that politically imprisons the rest of us. Jurors rejected the legal argument presented by the prosecutors, returning a verdict of not guilty on all counts. So definitely a bit of questions around the skill of those prosecutors there as well. But there's been two counts of homicide for all the 2020 shootings in Kenosha, Wisconsin, during a Black Lives Matter protest. The prosecution pretty much described Rittenhouse as remorseless, committing acts of violence, and said that his armed presence was provocative and did not exhaust all legal means to avoid killing someone, which is what you're supposed to do in order to claim self-defense. Raise your hand if you agree life is more important than property, prosecutor Thomas Binger said to the jury in his closing argument. The only person who was shot and killed anyone here is the defendant. Yes, there was property damage. No one's here to defend that. No one's here to tell you it's okay to commit arson or looting. No one's here to tell you it's okay to be rioters. But what you don't get to do is kill someone on the street for committing arson. Yet thanks to this jury verdict, more people will undoubtedly try to. Forget the merits of the case for a second. Just like, think about that situation. Kyle Rittenhouse came to this protest, this has been a bit heavily debated because, you know, he had family in Kenosha or whatever, and had very, like, strong ties to Kenosha. But, he, like, started in Illinois, came to Wisconsin, had a gun, came to the protest with a gun. I think that's probably the most important part of all, kind of looking to almost, like, kind of start trouble. Like, that is what we are seeing here. Quote-unquote, protect the community means we have vigilantes going into mostly unarmed protests, which is really what this was, and finding people and killing them if they think it's right. And even if they're not going around killing people, they're walking around with guns, which is a perfect way to get a huge crowd of people freaked out if they see someone with a gun. And not many of them have guns. It's going to freak people out. We can't say we didn't see this coming. Judge Bruce Schroeder's decision to allow the men lying dead at Rittenhouse's feet to be called looters or rioters but not victims set a tone that continued ruling after ruling. Yes, one of the people Rittenhouse shot, Gage Grosskurtz, was armed. I found that insufficient justification for the death of the two other men. And, you know, you could probably, you know, I would say Gage Grosskurtz, or whatever his name is, it's not the most irrational response in the world, if you have a gun, to go up to somebody with a gun who is waving it around in kind of a threatening way, as I understand Grosskurtz did, and that was the situation there at the time. But, the legal argument there, it has failed. And yet that was the only argument jurors were ever going to hear in court. But it's not the only question that you and I as American citizens have to wrestle with. Here's the argument the jury couldn't hear. In exonerating Rittenhouse, the jury has given license to every violent extremist in America to arm themselves and look for trouble amid their political opponents, wherever they may be. Consider the next time people rally for, say, abortion rights, or perhaps immigrant controls, or the next Stop the Steal rally. A free Kyle Rittenhouse means we will now be met with two camps of armed protesters, possibly from around the country. Each squad waiting for an opponent to twitch suspiciously in a way that will allow excuses to fly along with bullets. And I think that's a very, very good point. It's a very, very disturbing situation because it really just does. It kind of normalizes a very high temperature of political violence and, like, tension that we have seen over the country, in the country, for such a long time. And I have to wonder, I think right now the general mood of the country is that it's very, like, kind of chillaxed, I guess you could say, politically. I wouldn't say kind of chillaxed, almost, in the way that we kind of thought when Biden would be elected, how, you know, we'd be kind of relaxed, we'd take a chill pill, not, you know, paying attention as much to politics. I think definitely a lot of people are doing that. But I do also think there is this sense. I mean, if you look at, you know, the way Biden's polling and all that stuff, things are just kind of falling apart no matter who's in power. And that's led to kind of a lot of disillusion with a key sect of the Democratic base. And when it comes down to that, I think you really, you know, you look at the situation and say, wait, what if there is someone who comes in and inflames the population? Like, for example, Trump running in 2 or 3 years. It's a very, very possible thing. It's very, very possible that in some way, in some future, very soon down the road, we'll see massive amounts of political tensions, protests happening all the time, like we did in 2020. You know, it's definitely calmed down a little bit, but I don't think you can make, I don't think it's a smart bet to say that, you know, no one's going to be protesting the way that they are, or that they were in 2020 very, very soon. You know, that, like, that kind of, you know, broad populist anger at society is just, is not going to be a thing anymore. I think, no, that is a very, very bad take to make. And when that happens, there's going to be violence, there's going to be people getting at each other. And what I wonder is, how, where will this, you know, kind of figure in? How normal will it be? How much will it be accepted? And also, how is it going to be treated when the scripts are flipped? You know, because inevitably, it's very, very possible you see a situation where there's, like, a left-wing guy going in there and shooting people. I mean, now I think about it, it did happen in Portland, and, you know, it was definitely more of a kind of clear-cut, not self-defense case, but they pretty much had, Trump pretty much had, like, some agents of the state, I'm not sure who, pretty much go out and, like, hunt the guy down, but that's definitely an insane situation. But a body count begins today with this verdict. Every time a Proud Boy or neo-Nazi opens fire at a Black Lives Matter rally or its equivalent in the future, they'll have Rittenhouse's defense on their lips. And I think that's that is accurate. Like, I do not see how that is not a very, very worrying problem for a lot of people, because this is going to be used again. There will be increases in the political temperature. Things will get contentious, or more contentious than they are now, again. And we will see protests like that where people will be kind of excusing very, very, like, awful, awful, horrific things that have happened and kind of keep happening in the name of, you know, quote-unquote self-defense. Yeah, so the thing is, you can't convict a man for things you fear others will do in his name. There's no way to argue that in court without creating a mistrial. It's not a legal argument, it's a political argument. But Shorter also barred prosecutors from linking Rittenhouse to the Proud Boys, though Rittenhouse had become friendly with the violent and bigoted group in the days following the street killings. So again, a huge, huge, huge part of what people fear about this trial is not necessarily the situation itself. It's not necessarily Kyle Rittenhouse in and of itself. It's the fact that, you know, it's very, very tough to address this in a legal trial, but it still is something that, this guy's absolutely right, it needs to be addressed. It totally needs to be addressed, because this guy, it's no denying, he was making that little okay hand symbol that they like to say is not a racial thing, but has pretty much just been kind of, you know, repurposed as a racial thing at this point. By the Proud Boys, like, he was making that symbol, he was in that bar, he was lapping up all that right-wing media attention. I'm sure he's going to be on TV or something for a long, long time to come, talking in kind of in the hearts and minds of conservatives. I mean, I don't know, because he did his first ever interview, he came out in support, quote, of the Black Lives Matter movement to Tucker Carlson, so I do not know, actually, with those kind of media smarts, how long he'll be around, but it's very, very interesting, and it is very, very important here. This part, this fact that these political arguments are going to have so much bearing on our future and are, I think, really at the root of what so many left-wing-minded people fear about this case is that. Like, this kind of political strength, like, what is it going to lead to for the future? Are we, whenever there's a protest going on, are we going to have to worry about violent people coming in and, you know, kind of causing trouble? It's a very, very dangerous, dangerous situation. You know, it is... And it's very, very telling that this judge systematically did various different strategies to kind of block and lessen that as much as he could. It was one of the many pronouncements that meant to sever the legal question of Rittenhouse's guilt from the political ramifications of his acquittal. So that is what they're trying to do here, kind of say, evaluate based on the merits. But if we're evaluating based on the precedent that it sets, I think it is a definitely much more... It's a different question, and it's also a scarier question for the society as a whole. But it is from conjecture like this that we should make decisions about what our society and our laws should look like in the future. Court is meant to do something very specific, to ask 12 jurors to uphold the law as it stands. We don't ask jurors to make the law. That's on us. We have a responsibility to see what decisions are made and to change the law to make sure decisions that we hate are never made again. So I think that is, you know, that's definitely, I think that's a kind of sober-minded, calm response to react to this decision. And it's like, you know, people may be wondering, you know, I'm sure if you're someone like me who's kind of anywhere associated with the politics, you've heard, you know, from maybe a more conservative-minded friend, like, oh, have you watched a trial? I've watched a trial. The prosecutors were, like, killing or getting killed all the time. Like, Rittenhouse, he was totally in the right, you know, that kind of thing. it has been, you know, it's kind of been a little bit kind of isolating because, you know, yeah, he did have the self-defense situation, but I think this way really kind of puts, at least for me, puts it into context of what has been settled by this case and what will be settled by the ramifications of this case down the road, which is a very, very scary prospect to have in mind. All right. Thank you so very much for coming on for today's show. I hope everybody has a wonderful, wonderful Thanksgiving. And with that being said, we will see you next Monday. Not going to be missing any time for that. Love it. But yeah, we'll be back next Monday at 1 with more great music and news. Thank you so much for listening. And another great hour of music is coming up next.
The goal, let's get it on. Yo, what up, yo? This is Ghostface. You're listening to WMFO Medford 91.5. Y'all know what it is, one. With coke and a dollar bill, stems and crack capsules.